Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're studying today in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, chapter 3, text number 33.
Vyaktam Vyaktam Virostulam Midam Sariram Yinendriya prana mano gunam svam Bungshe stito dhammani param nishte Avyakta atma purusha purana Vyaktam bevostulam idam sariram
Sivadanta Swami Sira Prabhupada.
O my Lord, being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. You are Brahman, the Supersoul, the oldest, the personality of Godhead. Purport. It is said that the absolute truth appears in three features, namely impersonal Brahman, localized Supersoul, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The cosmic manifestation is the gross material body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys the taste of the material mellows by expanding his parts and parcels, the living entities, who are qualitatively one with him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is situated in the Vaikuntha planets, where he enjoys the spiritual mellows. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all by his material cosmic manifestation, the supreme Brahman effulgence, and his personal existence as the Supreme Lord. Om Agyanath, I know many of you came today thinking Radhanath Swami would speak. I apologize. His plane was very late last night, and he came in very, very late. So I apologize for sitting here instead of him. I also was waiting to hear from him. Here we have Hiranyakasipu. He's continuing with his prayers. He's praying to Lord Brahma. He's glorifying Lord Brahma as if Lord Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this world, he is, in one sense, the Supreme Person. Huh? But he's glorifying him, and we'll find later he's going to ask for benedictions. We all know the story of Hiranyakasipu and how he asked for benedictions. So he's approaching Lord Brahma as if Brahma is the supreme giver of benediction. In other words, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he's a fool. He's less intelligent. He's asking someone to give him something who doesn't really have anything to give. He has to get it from Krishna to give to him. We sometimes put ourselves in that position as benedictors. Many people come, give me blessings. Is it? Give me blessings. Isn't it? They are always asking for blessings. And I'm always stumped or bewildered because I'm not sure what to say. I don't know. I don't have any blessings to give. I have to get them from Prabhupada. So better we go to Prabhupada and get them from Srila Prabhupada. Because he is connected directly to Krishna and he can give. Hiranyakasipu wasn't thinking like that because he was inimical to Lord Vishnu. He didn't want anything to do with Vishnu. What he wanted to do to Vishnu was kill him. He didn't want to approach Krishna. He didn't want anything from Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna because he was very angry. What was he angry about? He killed his brother. Would you be angry if someone killed your brother? Of course you would. Completely angry. I'm going to get that guy. I'll fix that guy. Isn't it? The mind will, I'll fix that guy.
Hiranyakasipu is thinking, I'm going to fix that guy, Vishnu. Huh? He thinks he can kill my brother and get away with it?
Remember in the previous chapter he was talking about? I'll drink his blood. Because my brother was very fond of drinking blood. I'll drink his blood just for my brother's pleasure. He was thinking like that.
So, he's approaching, he's a very good businessman. Actually, he's a great soul in many ways, Hiranyakasipu. Well, we know his history, but he was very powerful. In his austerities, no one could perform the austerities that he performed. Standing on his toes, so long, anthill growing around, eating his body. There was nothing left of his body. Even when Brahma came, he could not even see him. He could not even see him. He's like, where is he? He knew there was, he was there because the fire was coming, right? Heating up the upper planetary systems. Everything was very disturbed by the power of Hiranyakasipu. So when he finally saw Lord Brahma sitting on his airplane, he offered his obeisances and began to glorify him as if he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he wanted something from him. Often we want something from Krishna. And we go to Krishna. They came to me just right before Guru Puja and said, Prabhu, can you give class? I said, what? You know, my mind, I'm full of mucus. I can't even think of my name today. I've been writing my name so I could remember it. I can't remember any slokas. I can't remember any verses. I'm thinking, I can't give class. Ask someone else. You know, you give the class because Maharaj is not available. So I went before the Lord. I wanted something. You know, I started begging, kindly give me some words. These are your words. I don't have any words to give. If you want some words to give, please give me some words. But in general, the materialist person, he's not asking to give the words of the Lord to the person. Of course, I'm a materialistic person. This time I just happened to ask for something that was spiritual. But in general, they're asking for material benefits. Isn't it? They're coming before the Lord. How many of you have been students and prayed to the Lord to pass your exams? Isn't it? Yeah. Everyone is praying. How many of you are parents that are asking, please let my child pass his exams? You see, the parents are praying also. Everyone's praying, give, give, give. You know, we want something from the Lord. Kindly give me something. Hiranyakasipu was like that. He wanted something. But he didn't know who to go to. He thought Brahma was the person to go to. So he started asking Brahma. Give me this, give me that, give me immortality. Brahma said, I can't give you that. I don't even have that. Because really, you can't give something you don't have. Isn't it? You can't give something you don't have. That's why, for the devotee of the Lord, it's important for us to take shelter of the Lord. So that we can get His mercy. So that we can give His mercy. You see? Maharaj was speaking yesterday that this is a process of empowerment. You see, Krishna consciousness is a process of empowerment. We must be empowered by the Lord, by His holy name. I was watching two young brahmacharis chanting this morning, and these two brahmacharis were asked by Radhana Swami to go downtown Bombay and try to figure out how to preach to the Westerners who are coming as tourists, right? So I was watching these boys while we were chanting japa. And I was thinking, I can only relate it to when I distributed books all the time. You get up in the morning, you're chanting your japa, trying to get the mercy of the Lord so you could go out and distribute this book, so you could give out the mercy, so you can get the mercy, so you can give the mercy. So now I was thinking of these two boys. And I was looking at, are they praying to Krishna for the mercy, the intelligence, the guidance, the, you know, O holy name, O Lord, kindly, you know, give me your shelter so that I can go and give the shelter to those foreigners who have come to India seeking spiritual knowledge. Where is that? How can I give the spiritual knowledge? They don't have the spiritual knowledge.
We may be able to memorize all the slokas in all the books, isn't it?
But without the mercy of the Lord, they don't mean anything.
The Mayavadis, they have so much tejas. They've performed so many austerities. They've gained so much information. Huh? They know the scripture backward and forward, but it's useless because they don't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just simply useless.
So we have, without getting the mercy of the Lord, all of our I won't say they're useless if you're performing devotional service. I'm not saying that. But if they're not in pursuance of pleasing the Lord, then simply it's wasted time. The prophet says, the Mayavadis have wasted their time. Isn't it? They've wasted it because it's not in pursuance. It's pursuance of becoming one with God. It's pursuance of becoming God. It's pursuance of sense gratification in one sense, Prabhupada said. So similarly, Hiranyakasipu is like this. He's praying like this. He wants to become more powerful than Vishnu. He wants to become immortal. He wants to be able to kill Vishnu. This is his prayer. So here now he's praying, O my Lord, being unchanged, or being changelessly situated in your own abode. You expand your universal form within the cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. You are Brahman, Supersoul, the oldest, the personality of Godhead. We know that Krishna is permanently situated in the spiritual world. He's enjoying with the cowherd boys. He's enjoying with the gopis. Huh? He's enjoying with his parents. And the cows. He's entering into the forest, right? With his brother Balaram and the calves and his cowherd friends. The gopis have described this as the perfection of the eyes. And he's playing on his flute. And when he enters into the forest in the autumn season, he's very pleased because it is a very pleasing environment. The lakes, the rivers are crystal. So clear, they're pushing forward lotus flowers. The bees and drones are hovering jubilantly. And they're all happy because of the presence of Krishna in the forest. Even the rivers are very happy because the gopis, remember the story of the gopis attracted by the flute? And the gopis are asking, how is it that this bamboo flute is tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips when his lips are ours? They are our property. What kind of pious activities has this bamboo flute performed in order to taste the nectar of Krishna's lips? Isn't it? And they're asking these questions. And the rivers became very happy because they said the parents of this flute must be very happy. But the rivers are the parents of the trees and the creepers that grow. So the rivers, they were so happy, they were crystal, they were giving lotus flowers to Krishna. And the bamboo trees that grew along the banks, they were thinking, oh, look at our descendant. He has become perfect in his service. He is getting the nectar of Krishna's lips. Huh? So the atmosphere in the forest is very, very jubilant and peaceful and happy. This is considered the perfection of the eyes. And this is what Krishna does. He's changelessly situated in his own abode, as stated here by Hiranyakasipu. Changelessly situated. He doesn't even, we know that when the demons come, he doesn't even kill the demons. He manifests, he expands himself in the Vasudeva feature and he kills the demons. He's just enjoying. So much enjoyment. That's the Lord's position. He is Satchit Ananda. But we are also Satchit Ananda. That's why we are always seeking this position that Hiranyakasipu is seeking. We want to also be full of knowledge. We also want to be eternal. And we also want to be happy. He's thinking happiness, drinking the blood of Vishnu will bring him happiness. He's thinking that killing Vishnu will bring him happiness. Is it? But in our material state of mind,
We also are thinking all of these things. Isn't it? Even as devotees, sometimes we find that we're trying to get some pleasure out of taking Krishna's own words and kind of making ourselves seem like we're speaking this knowledge. Is it? Or taking Krishna's talent. You know, Krishna says, I am the ability in man. He is playing the mridanga. It's so nice. Krishna is the ability. Sometimes we think, I am the ability. I am the great mridanga player. I am the great kirtan leader. I can dance better than anyone can dance. Actually, Maharaj gave us a little challenge yesterday, didn't he? Did you hear that challenge in class yesterday? Anyone heard that challenge? I heard that challenge in class yesterday. He said, in Africa, this would not be dancing. He said, in Africa, they are going from here to there, here to there. We have chairs in the way. Sometimes they are dancing like wild men here. They are very expert dancer. But I know that when I was with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in Gitanagari, and the devotees in Gitanagari, it's like the temple room is very clear, right? From one end to the other, and they would run. And they would run so fast. I was thinking they were training for like an Olympic basketball team or something. You know, they were doing wind sprints from one end of the court to the other, you know, so they could get some strength. And this devotee, you met him last week, Baladev Vijayabhusan. He's stout body, right? Well, he didn't run with them. He would skip. And he would skip. He looked just like he was floating. And he would keep right up with the runners. And he would skip back this way and go back and forth. It was very ecstatic to be in the kirtan with those devotees. But it was exhausting. Because they are amazing dancers. So many amazing dancers. This temple has some amazing dancers. They have expert doing spins and stopping. What is that dance you do? They stop this way. Isn't it? There's some expert dancers here. They have some very nice moves. There's one boy here, he does backflips. You know, you're dancing, all of a sudden you see this body go through the air. Huh? So there's some amazing personalities in this movement everywhere you go. But I think before Maharaj goes, we should have one raucous kirtan so he can feel at home. So we can bring him home. So like that. Because this is the mood. Pleasing the Vaishnavas. We please the Vaishnavas, we please Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, he wanted to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. But we know that there were many people who didn't want it. And they caused so many problems for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it wasn't even the Muslims. It was the so-called caste brahmanas. You know, it was the people from our side, so to speak, right? These are the people that suppose you expect will support you if you're trying to spread the glories of Krishna. Huh? And they cause so many problems. Sometimes even we see in our own life right now, in our ISKCON movement, that it's not even the outside people that cause the problems. It's we cause our own problems. Maharaj was saying yesterday that Krishna is not the cause of our suffering. We are the cause of our suffering. We create our own dilemmas. We create our own problems. We create, even within our own group of devotees, we cause our own problems. And many of those problems are due to us thinking we know what is best. Huh? And sometimes it's even in the pursuance of wanting to spread Krishna consciousness. What do they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. We may have some good intentions. And we want to give, you know, Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we miss the mark. Because Krishna consciousness is it's an internal personal affair. And one must honor each person's internal personal relationship with Krishna. Certainly, because we live in a community, there are certain community environmental restrictions that we place. And even the nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, puts some restrictions on us. Right? Guidelines. Something to help you within the community of devotees. But the guidelines are there for one purpose. And that purpose is to remember Krishna. That's the rule in Krishna consciousness. The only rule, really. Always remember Krishna. And the prohibition, we know, is never forget Krishna. And all of the other rules and regulations, all the other activities, are in pursuant of that one rule. We rise in the morning early, we take these cool baths, sometimes very cold baths. We're getting up, we are coming to glorify the Lord when He gives darshan. We are chanting japa together, we are praying to Srimati Tulsi Maharani, kindly make me a resident of Vrindavan, make me one of the followers of Cowherd Damsels of Braj. We are praying to Tulsi Maharani to help us. What? Remember Krishna. Because the Cowherd Damsels of Braja, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no one does it better than them, remembering Krishna. So we are begging to help us keep that one rule. Help me remember Krishna. Where do we want to remember Him? Fixed in His abode. Enjoying with the Cowherd boys, the Cowherd girls, Nanda Maharaj, Jasodamayi, Brinda Devi. We want to come to that standard. That is the standard. Persons like Hiranyakasipu, materialistic, motivated person, they don't pray for that. They don't pray. We come before Tulsi Maharani, we ask every morning, right? Namo, namo, Tulsi Krishna. I bow before you again and again. I'm praying to you. We're begging her. We're begging her. Hiranyakasipu comes before the supreme person in this universe and he begs for ability to kill Krishna. You see the difference in the mentality? But we have to be careful because we also have divine nature and we have demoniac nature. So sometimes the demoniac nature, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj writes in his book about the two dogs. You feed whichever dog you feed gets stronger, right? Two dogs are fighting. And if you feed the lower nature, then it will become very strong. And it will defeat the higher nature. Isn't it? But if you feed the higher nature, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Suhishnana. If we feed that higher nature and become devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer respects to others, feeling ourselves lower than the straw on the street, and we start to feed the higher nature. We start to glorify Krishna. We start to come and tell people about Krishna. Machchitta madgata prana. Not only those people out there, these people in here. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me always. And bodhiyantas parasparam means they're preaching to each other. They're not just preaching to those out there. They're preaching to each other. Katayantas. They're talking about Krishna. It's not that we need to always just be running out the front door to make new devotees. Prabhupada is more important to keep the ones we have than to make new ones. The value of the devotees that are right here and the experience and the knowledge and the growth they have, we should protect it. We should enrich it. Isn't it? I'm preaching to the choir here, I know. Because that is the mood here. But that is the mood that seems to get lost when we get opportunity to be the leader. Sometimes when we get opportunity to be the leader,
Now we'll run it the way I want to run it. You see, and we start making up our kind of rules. But then it becomes very dangerous. It's like a slippery slope. It's like a slippery slope. Sometimes we get very enamored by the people who come to us, right? Oh, Prabhu, you are so advanced. Oh, Prabhu, you know some of your classes. So wonderful. I love your classes. You know, and then you start thinking, yes, that was a good class. Thanks. And you start evaluating your advancement by the persons who are below you. You start, what they are telling you, how great you are, you start to think, I am advancing. Maybe I should start giving diksha. Huh? Maybe I should become a guru. So many people think my classes are great. They only come on Sunday because I'm speaking. You see? When I come to the temple, so many more people come because they heard I'm coming. Maybe I should start giving diksha. And so we evaluate ourselves by those people who are glorifying us. Isn't it? But is that the way the devotee, the Vaishnava, evaluates himself? No. We evaluate ourselves by looking at the acharyas, the paramparar. You know, when you open up the Bhagavad Gita, there's a list, right? Do you see your name on it? It's not on there. Mine's not. I look all the time. Nope, not there yet. How do we evaluate ourselves? By how we come in comparison to them. And generally, we're not on the list. One day when you look up and you see their lotus feet, then you think, oh, now I'm getting closer. But generally, for me, I look up, I don't see. You see? I'm so far away from Prabhupada's lotus feet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I hear some people quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur all the time. Anyway, the point is, that's how we evaluate ourselves. How we compare up here. Not how we're glorified from down here. We can get, Prabhupada used to say, the cheap adoration of the innocent public. We can get, it's very easy in India to get adoration. Especially as a Prabhupada disciple. Or as a brahmacharya, you wear saffron kapra, and you go and you sit down. People are coming. And you give a little class, they touch your feet, they all run up. Isn't it? You stand up and they got their head stuck to your foot and you're trying to back up. And you're going, wow, what is this? Why are they doing this? And at first, couple times you're offended. And then pretty soon you're wondering why they're not doing it. Is it not? It's like that. How come they didn't come? Maybe it wasn't such a good class this time. It's a very slippery slope. Advancement, sometimes we are not sure whether we're advanced or not advanced. Right? You give the class, everybody's touching you, and you go into your room at night and you sit down and you realize you're all alone. And you realize, I'm a fraud. I really don't have any potency. I really don't deserve this. I don't know what these people are doing. These people have lost their minds. Only you in your heart, you know who you are. Sometimes even we delude ourselves. Sometimes we go to bed thinking we're very powerful. That's what Hiranyakasipu. He's thinking. We're all like Hiranyakasipu in some way or another. In some way or another, we have those qualities. And the process of Krishna consciousness is to eradicate those qualities, to bring them lower and lower and lower until we can gradually, but you can't just lower them. You have to taste the higher taste. Bhagavad Gita describes how that you must taste the higher taste. And what is the higher taste? The higher taste is this hearing about Krishna. Uttama shloka lilaya. Sukadeva Goswami is very happy laying in the womb of his mother 16 years. Right?
He's lying in there. Can you imagine? 16 years, he's in the womb. He's happy. Why I go out there? Same as in here or as out there, it's the same. It's all one. But then he heard the glories of Krishna. And he became attracted. He became attracted. And he came out. We become attracted to Krishna the more we hear about Krishna. And the process of removing all of these unwanted things in the heart is just hearing about Krishna. We chant, Nasta Prayeshu Bhadrishu Nityam Bhagavatacha. Well, what does it mean? It means we're removing those things from the heart by hearing the Bhagavatam, by hearing about Krishna, by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes we like to just study alone. But I remember when I was a new devotee, we used to always read together. At night, we would read the Krishna book to each other. Now you can go and sit, and there's six people reading the Krishna book. And four of them are reading the same story. I think, why not just scoot over here and I'll read it to you? Put your head down here. Lie down, I'll read to you. Isn't that what the cowherd boys did? Huh? Sometimes they would be running in the forest. Sometimes they would be chasing under the birds. They would be imitating. And then Balaram would be doing something and he would get tired. And sometimes he would lay his head on a rock. Or sometimes he'd lay his head on the lap of and another cowherd boy would run and immediately massage his legs. Another one would sing sweet songs to him. Huh? Another one would tell him glories. Isn't it? Krishna would sometimes be a little tired. Same thing. They would lay down. Immediately they would... We are not in this mood. We should practice to come to this mood. Singing to each other. When I first met Vishnu Jan Swami, I had been chanting for some time, maybe a month, month and a half, 2 months. But I was chanting, I was traveling, so I was hitchhiking. So I'd sit in people's car and chant. I'd chant sometimes 30, 40 rounds in their car, you know, just going. We'd travel 8, 9 hours in the car and I'd just be chanting. I didn't want to talk to them. I just wanted a ride. And sometimes I would talk with them. And I went to Dallas Temple and they said, oh, you're very fortunate. Vishnu Jan Maharaj had just come. Now I was reading Bhagavad Gita. At that time, we only had the Bhagavad Gita without the purport, or without the Sanskrit and the purports. It was abridged Bhagavad Gita. And there's a Vishnu Jan Maharaj is here. And I'm thinking, wow, what's a Maharaj? I had no idea what a Maharaj was. I didn't know. You know, I'm thinking, this guy with a big helmet. You know, and he's coming. I didn't know what a Maharaj was. Yudhisthira Maharaj. You know, he's Yudhisthira Maharaj. What's a Vishnu Jan Maharaj? So I was just in the hallway and the door of the temple room opened. And a couple of devotees were there and there was this very skinny guy. He was standing there. And I had gone to the temple many times. And I had bowed down to the deity. But I'd never bowed down to anybody else besides the deity. And so when he opened the door and he was standing there, I don't know why, I just bowed down to him. And he bowed down to me. Then he got up and he embraced me. And then he put his arm around me and he walked me and he's like, what is your name? I'm Vishnu Jan Maharaj, please. And he sat me down. And he was sitting right next to me. His knee was touching my knee. And there was harmonium there. And he pulled the harmonium and he began to sing to me. You know, he's singing bhajans, but he's like this close. He's right next to me, his knees touching me. I had never had a man sing to me before. You know, it was a little strange for me to have a man that close looking in my face singing to me, playing this. And Vishnu Jan Maharaj was very sweet. You know, had these. And then other devotees began to play kartels and mridanga and the bhajans. And we chanted. And I just sat there. And the strange feeling was I liked it. You know, it was so strange for a man to be sitting there singing to me, but I liked it. I think, wow, this is magical, somehow magical. And I became so attracted to this person because he was singing the glorifications of Krishna in my face. And it touched me so much that I thought, Later, when I became a devotee, I thought this is what we should be doing. So we would sing, we would read to each other, we sat in groups. Because this is what keeps us family. When we come close to each other, and we sing to each other, we talk with each other about Krishna. The tendency is we come and talk about, you know, world politics, or, you know, there's a strike in the city today, and, you know, they're beating up people because they say that the Maharashtrian people are not making enough money and South Indian people are coming in. Isn't it? I heard that this week, and I'm thinking, I really don't care. I don't care. If you want to beat each other up downtown, go beat each other up downtown. It's okay. Just don't beat me up downtown. Huh? Because it has nothing to do with me. What it has to do with us is, what is Krishna doing in the forest? Right? What is Krishna doing in the forest? What are the cowherd boys doing with Krishna in the forest? Tell me something about that. Tell me something about Krishna on that chariot with Arjuna. You know, tell me something about that. Tell me how he was sitting on his bed being fanned by Rukmini Devi, and Sudama Brahman came, and he rushed from his own bed and embraced his friend and put him on his own bed and had the goddess of fortune fanning him with the chamara while he washed his feet and sprinkled the water of Sudama on his head. Tell me something like that, so that in my heart I can become inspired to know how to serve the Brahman by the example of the Supreme Lord. How to exchange from the Brahman. And I love that example of Sudama Brahman, because remember, Sudama Brahman, he was so poor and he didn't have anything. Nothing. Even when his wife asked him, please go and see your friend Krishna so that you can help us. She had to beg from 5 neighbors to get a handful of chip rice. 5 neighbors. They had nothing. Put it in that little chudder and tied it around his neck. You see people like that, they have their little money in there and stuff, right? He had it around his neck. When Krishna saw it, after embracing him and exchanging stories about their childhood, all these things, then Krishna said, have you brought me something? What did Sudama? He put his head down. He was embarrassed. And Krishna snatched that chudder off him, took that, opened it, took 1 grain of rice. 1 grain of rice. And when he ate it, Prabhupada describes that the whole creation became satisfied. The whole creation. Not this world, or not Dwarka, or not. The whole creation. Why? Because the Supreme Lord was pleased with the love of Sudama Brahman. We chant that sloka, patram pushpam palam toyam. We can say it very nice. Everyone has different meters and. But what does it mean? It means if you have some love for me and some devotion for me, no matter what you offer me, I'll accept it. Because of your love for me. And when Sudama Brahman's love was expressed through that chip rice, Krishna ate it. He was so satisfied that even when he tried to eat another, Rukmini said, no, you can't do it. We can't repay him. We can't repay him. We already have to give him more than we can afford here. Well, not quite. But you understand the point. The point is that if you satisfy Krishna, we just did a drama in Pune Yatra. Remember when Durvas Muni came? They sent Durvas Muni to the Pandavas. Remember? You did the drama, right? What happened? Krishna became pleased by the love of Draupadi, her dependence on Krishna, her affection for Krishna. Dug in that pot, 1 little. I'm satisfied. What happened to Durvasa and his 10,000, 60,000 disciples? They became satisfied. They became satisfied. And they said, well, you know, if we go back there and we eat, we'll be overeating, we'll commit sin. Or if we don't go, we'll commit offense. I mean, if we go and don't eat, we'll commit offense. Let's just get out of here. So if you want to stop war, that was a violent situation was about to happen. But because Krishna was pleased, all the violence was gone, right? So if you want to stop some of the violence in your own life or stop some of the violence in the world, you have to find a way to please Krishna, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is very clear. It's very clear. Chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. Become my devotee. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Just become my devotee. Think of me. Huh? Get rid of all the sarva dharma prigi. You know, in the end. But then he said, wait. Do what you want. I've given you the information now. Now do what you want. So you are devotees. You have all the information. Most of you have read these books dozens of times. You've got them memorized. So many things. From your childhood, you know so many things. But what is your choice? To talk about Krishna? Glorify Krishna? Or to talk about mundane activities? And become like Aranyakasipu. And this is the position. This verse talks, I didn't talk much about the purport. I'm trying to focus a little bit on that Krishna is situated in his own abode, as stated here. And that's the focus of the devotee, of Krishna in the abode. The yogi, he meditates on the Lord in the heart. But we're not yogis. You can meditate on the Lord in the heart. You can do that. Or you can meditate on the external energy of the Lord. It describes that here also. The Lord expands himself in this material energy. So those are the three meditations. But Krishna says, of all the yogis, the one who abides in me, he is the topmost yogi. So why? We'll become the topmost yogi. We'll think of Krishna in his abode. Krishna in his pastimes. Krishna when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can meditate on all those pastimes. But not just meditate. Tell someone else. Talk about it. You want to control your tongue? Take prasad. Chant Hare Krishna. Tell somebody about Krishna. Tongue is controlled. Tongue is controlled. Isn't it? All the time. Prabhu, I have a question. How do you fix your mind on japa? Fix your mind on japa. Maharaj gave, Devamrita Swami was here, remember when Devamrita Swami was here and Maharaj, they were discussing two baseball players, American baseball players. They were two famous Americans. But Maharaj, Radha Swami, when he tried to explain, he tried to say it like cricket players, you know, so that you could relate to it a little bit. But the one, they were both big time hitters in baseball, right? And so they could hit the ball more than anyone else. And so the one asked the other one, what do you think about when you go up to the plate to hit the ball? The other one said, think about? He said, I don't think about anything. I see the ball and I hit it. I don't think about it. I see the ball and I hit it. How do you chant japa? You chant japa. You hear the holy name. You chant it from your mouth. You hear it in your ear. You chant it. It's very simple. You don't have to do anything. You chant a little with the mouth. It goes in the ear. Right? You hear it with the ear. Shravanam, kirtanam, back and forth. The mind is, well, how do you control the mind? It's automatically controlled. Because when you chant the holy name, and you hear it with the ear, the mind will become attractive. The key is just hear it. See the ball? Hit it. You don't have to get so involved in the mind. Well, how do you do it? You got to sit this way, you got to lay that way. Just chant. Just chant the holy name. Chant with your tongue, your lips, hear with your ear. There are many seminars that you can go to on chanting the holy name now. The Prabhupada said it the best. Chant with your lips, hear with the ear. Chant with the lips, hear with the ear. And you know it's really nice when you do it with other people. When you sit with the other devotees and you chant, and your mind starts to go and you look over at them, and they're like, Krishna. You go, yeah. Chant with the lips, hear with the ear. Huh?
And you're reminded of what is our position. I simply want to glorify Krishna. That's the devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, we get caught up in all these other things. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all his material cosmic manifestations, the spiritual Brahman effulgence, and his personal existence as a Supreme Lord. In other words, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. There's only one Supreme Lord, and that's Krishna. And he expands himself. Achintya, Beta Beta Tattva, his energies are expanded out, but they're one with him, but they're different from him. That Supreme Lord, he's still there, dancing and chanting. Do you see him playing the flute up there? Can you see him? He's playing the flute. Do you see his lips move? I didn't. Because when I look up there, I'm not on that level. But one day when we chant and we talk about him and we glorify him and we get his mercy, we may see him blowing that flute. We may hear him blowing that flute. We may see him dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, ever since I've been here, they've been standing like this. Right? Do you really think they're standing like that? Or they're dancing? I think they're dancing. But we just can't see the dancing because we think they're standing like this. Because we're on one dimension and they're on another dimension. So how do we get to that other dimension? Katayantascha. You talk about me. You glorify me. You preach to one another. And you'll be meditating on him. Did you see him dance? No. I'm going to keep watching him until he dances. And you're going to meditate on him and see he's going to dance one day. Shakshi Gopal, he walked. Huh? Shirachara Gopinath, he stole some cheer. Don't think he can't do it. Don't think he's not doing it. He's doing it. But we're not seeing it. In his abode, he is doing it. In his abode, he is wrestling with Balaram. He is wrestling with Sridham. He is wrestling with Subal. You see it? No. We read the story and we just go through it. Nice story, huh? But did you see it? Thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me always. When they read it, they see something different. Prabhupada, he enjoyed so much just hearing the Krishna book in his garden in L.A. He would sit there and the devotees would read to him. They said, what do you want to hear, Prabhupada? He said, open it up. He's like Glubjaman. He said, wherever you bite, it's sweet. You can open up and just read to. And Prabhupada would enter into the pastime of Krishna. We can enter into this pastime. It's a fact. But there's some parameters. We have to practice. We have to engage in hearing and chanting, and we have to associate properly. We have to associate. I saw one handbook you have here. It's called, what is it? The title is Guest Book. How to be a guest and how to treat guests. What's the title? What is it? Guest? Reception and hospitality. That's the name of it. And I was looking, okay, how do you be a... See, because sometimes we kind of know how to receive somebody. But how are you supposed to act when you're being received? And both of those things are important. How to be a guest and how to receive a guest. You see? That's what the spiritual world is about. Yeah? How to receive devotees. How to be a devotee. How to receive the Supreme Lord in your heart. How to worship the Supreme Lord in your heart. He's the supreme guest. Right? Yet, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwara. He's the benefactor and the beneficiary. He's the guest and he's the host. This is all his. You see? He's the host. He's receiving us, but he's the guest. He's everything. But we have to enter into that mentality to understand what is our relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? I'm trying to understand it. So you remind me all through the day when you see me, you tell me something about Krishna. And if you can do that, then I'll remember something to tell you about Krishna. And then we'll get out of this material world together. You can't do it by yourself. Nobody's going to just get out of here by themselves. Isn't it? So we need each other. So I need for you to tell me, and I'll tell you. Whomever you meet, wherever you go, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, right? Nityananda Prabhu, go door to door. Ask them to please chant Hare Krishna. Whomever you meet. So we're meeting each other all day long. You think we can't remind each other? Sometimes I see these hooks. Sometimes we have these hooks on the wall for our bead bags. We have them in the ashram. We have them wherever we live. You have one in your house, right? You have a hook or a little place you put your bead bag. And then we go. Sometimes I see brahmacharis or grahasas out on the street and you're walking by them. And they don't even have a bead bag on. I'm thinking, wow, where's their bead? Oh, it's on that hook. Because they finished their 16 rounds. You see? Isn't it? But can we finish our rounds? You can't. Because Krishna says, satatam kirtayanto mam. So we have to remind each other when we meet each other. Hey, where's your bead bag? No, that's not the reminding I'm talking about. The reminding I'm talking about is, you tell them something about Krishna. And you give them some example by having your own bead bag. We tend to think that we have to chastise everybody. We don't have to chastise anybody. Except ourselves. But anyway, just remind each other about Krishna. And learn to love each other. Because that's what this is about. Krishna consciousness is a heart-to-heart movement. When the calves were sucking the nipples of the mother, they were stunned. When Krishna's fruit was playing, they couldn't even suck. Tears were coming from their eyes. And they were embracing Krishna heart to heart. That's what the movement is about. How to get tears in your eyes and embrace Krishna heart to heart. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. Isn't it? Heart to heart. I know I've said this before, but I'm trying to remind myself. It's about heart to heart. Your relationship with Krishna and your relationship with the devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I think now we have prasadam, right? I know. I always go over so there's no time for questions and answers because you have... I'm a very simple man. And you come up with very complicated questions. And so I can't answer them. So I'll keep it simple and we'll take prasad. Hare Krishna.